I'm on the growth path, growing the company business very nicely. And then in 2017, in an accident, Nitin, my husband, passed away. That kind of, you know, life change overnight. Taking care of families, taking care of business, all my employees, customers, they were really watching me, my every move, rightfully so. If their business is with me safe, my customers were watching if their business is safe with me, my employees were watching me if their jobs are safe with me, and I had to really show up. Luckily for me, my parents, actually, their contribution, biggest contribution, is give very strong values. And that one of the values is my duty.
Hey, my dear listeners, welcome back to yet another episode of Inspire Someone Today. Our promise on Inspire Someone Today is to get inspirers every other week. And we have one more inspirer joining us. Started off her career as a software engineer, elevated to be an entrepreneur, sold her successful business, now a business coach and yoga practitioner, and much, much more. It's an absolute joy to have Surabhi Shenoy on this edition of Inspire Someone Today. Surabhi, welcome to the show.
It's so nice to be here, Srikanth. Thank you for having me, and looking forward to having some good time here.
Absolutely. So like I mentioned, Surabhi, your journey started way back. Lot of us, we think this is what we end to be, what we want to do. But lot many times, life has its own design for us. I'm sure you never thought to be the business coach that you are today. But the serendipitous journey that you have had some bearings of what's happening with your career today. So even before we get to that point, Surabhi, what's the backstory to who Surabhi is? How did life begin to Surabhi, and what led you to this career trajectory that you are in today?
It's been a journey. Like, I'm sure everybody has their own life journey, and it's amazing. And you're right. I never thought I'll be a business coach. Forget, I never thought that I'll be a business woman also. Coming from a middle-class Maharashtrian background, in school and colleges, if somebody would have asked me, will I start a business ever? I would have said, no way. I would just do a decent job, have a happy life, and get going. But I'm a strong believer of being open and ready to receive what life can bring to you and do your best. And I think, as you said, simple engineer. And like in 90s, all engineers, although I'm electronics and telecom engineer, all engineers become software engineers. So did I. And then one thing led to another. After my marriage, we went to US, came back, had a great opportunity. Everything worked out. I must call that as a divine intervention, where we had to start the business. There was no way. Everything, the client, the employees, the office space, money to start the business, everything was lined up for us in such a way. I mean, that's what has to happen kind of situation, you know. So that's how our technology company started, me and my husband together. And I continued working outside, actually, not to put all eggs in the same basket. Husband, wife, we can work together. We were not sure of that either. 2008, another opportunity, exciting opportunity came, which was in health and wellness industry, and cashed on that opportunity. For almost 4 years, I ran that, started and grew that business, and then finally successfully sold that. Even though it was like a 4 year stint, it is that business that actually taught me how to be a business owner rather than just an engineer. Because that's where I learned how to be in the competitive business, how what money means for a business, and how to take care of that, how to really build your value proposition to the customers. It was a hardcore retail services business, and that pushed me, transformed me from an engineer to a businesswoman. And learning, all the learning from there, I came back to my technology company after the sale of that business. Tried applying as much as possible in the technology company. I'm inspired at India, my company's entry in the India banking and financial services market. They treated us really well. We had a competitive advantage of open source technologies. We had a competitive advantage of speed of delivery, which we really harnessed. Everything worked out very well from exponential, steady exponential growth, as I call it as. So here I'm thinking I'm on the growth path, growing the company business very nicely. And then in 2017, in an accident, Nitin, my husband, passed away. That kind of, you know, life change overnight. Taking care of families, taking care of business, all my employees, customers, they were really watching me, my every move, rightfully so. If their business is with me is safe. My customers were watching if their business is safe with me. My employees were watching me if their jobs are safe with me. And I had to really show up. Luckily for me, my parents, actually, their contribution, biggest contribution, is give very strong values. And that one of the values is my duty towards all of these people. And I think I did a decent job there. And then as we were growing, 2019, somebody approached me saying, if you ever want to exit, let me know. He would be interested. As in, he would help me through the process. Until then, it had never occurred to me that this kind of option exists for me. People like us, you know, we never start a business thinking they're going to exit. That's today's startup world, that before you enter, you're thinking of how I'm going to exit from here. For me, after Nitin, I was really finding it difficult to have enough motivation to continue. I also thought that how will I grow this on my own? He took care of finance, he took care of payroll, he took care of compliance, banking, legal aspects of it. He signed the balance sheet, I signed the balance sheet next to it. I never took responsibility of what are we signing off for, right? I mean, what are we putting there? And in India, with all the tax compliance, the fear is that by mistake also, you don't want to make a mistake. And that's a huge pressure, especially if you don't know this side of the world, right? And with all those aspects and then me feeling not enough motivated, I kind of started taking this option seriously. It took me 2 years, Srikanth, I'll tell you, that to gather everything together. I made a lot of mistakes because we don't know how to sell the business, right? We don't know how to present the business. Nobody ever teaches us that. So I hired a broker, I fired a broker, I had to regroup, hire a costing accounts person who actually made me realize a lot of things. I had great advisors. And with their help, then I understood how to present my business to a prospective buyer. Until then, I was talking passion, I was talking opportunity, and they were talking numbers. So our language was so different that there was a disconnect, and I couldn't really build that trust and rapport with them. So once I changed all of that from my side, then things started getting better. My confidence came. And trust me, because I put in effort in building that value in my business, my own understanding of my business improved. It opened my mind, made me realize what my business was like never before, which was very surprising, you know. After being 18 years in that same business, I thought, now I know what I'm doing, you know.
A new perspective to your own business.
Absolutely. And my language to my employees, my language to my customers, how I present my business, so many things change in my head just because I started understanding it from the value and the numbers perspective. Luckily, everything went well in our favor. Things settled down. I got my peaceful exit. Everything worked out. I got a commitment from the buying company, how they will treat my employees, what they will do with my company. So it was strategically a great fit for them. I was happy with people who were getting involved now in my business. And then after the exit, I kind of decided to move my base to Dubai, which is where I am right now. And took a really big break of almost 8-10 months, painting, stitching, gardening, cooking. A much needed break because I was really exhausted, especially after Nitin, to manage. And it still took almost 5 years for me to bring the organization to that stage. There were always friends and acquaintances reaching out, asking for help, asking for advice. And I thought maybe that's something that I would like to continue doing. Because even in working in Tejora, that was one aspect of my work which was most satisfying. You know, my guys were, they started as freshers, and as they continued growing within the organization, seeing their journey, their growth, even if they are in Tejora or they're outside also, that was the most fulfilling aspect of my work. And I thought I would enjoy that. So did a lot of courses, digital writing, applied neuroscience, International Coaching Federation's ACC to become a coach. So that I'm being an advisor without advising, right? We want to build their life, their business, not my views. So how to do that? I learned a lot of those things from these courses. And now I think I'm fully looking at being a business advisor and working, helping entrepreneurs to maximize the value of their business. Because that's one thing that I took from Elixir Fitness to Tejora. How to build value. And because my conscious effort towards that, it became slightly easier to actually when it came to selling the business. even if you don't want to sell the business, if you just understand how to create value within your business, like it helped me open my mind. I believe that will happen with these entrepreneurs.
Surabhi, what a start, what a journey that you have had. I think, like I said, lot of serendipitous moments out there. From a shy college graduate to a software engineer to a successful entrepreneur, now advising business what to do in their business trajectories. I think great story out there, and really appreciate you for your vulnerability, talking about your personal loss as well. And you did mention that each of these moments has kind of shaped you. So, and it's very also easy when you're going through these moments of success, these moments of challenges that you've had, that you encounter a lot of advice coming your way. Good, bad, some sought after, some not sought after, but you still keep getting those advices. And the way you're kind of nodding your head to that, I'm sure you had your share of those good and bad advices to you. How do you really decipher these and take a decision saying that, okay, this is what it is, this makes sense, and let me move on with it?
Right. This is in retrospection, okay? I wasn't as wise before. In retrospection, I can start by saying that today, I believe that there is a deep innate wisdom in each one of us. I'm not saying in few, but literally I'm saying each one of us. We need to learn how to tap into that wisdom. So when somebody gives an advice, and this is what I do today, and I'll explain, I will kind of briefly mention what I did before also, right? As in when I wasn't as wise. Earlier, especially when I did Elixir Fitness, right, I thought, I have no idea about this health and wellness industry. I have no idea how to do a service retail business before. So I would ask 10 different people these questions. What should I do? How should I do it? And remember, I mean, I was going as an engineer into this business. I'm a founder, but I'm still an engineer in my head and sitting in small cubicle. So I thought I didn't know. And therefore, I have to ask industry experts, people who have done this before. They can advise and I can follow that. And every time something went wrong and I kind of knew that this is not how it should be done. And my gut was telling me that I need to do it differently, not follow this advice. But because they know better, I thought, therefore I followed their advice. Not that they were wrong, but in my situation, which only I know fully, only I can choose and only I can decide. And remember, when you own a business, all success is credit to everybody. All failures are your own. And you have to accept it. And that's how it works and that's how it should be. So it is my decision if we fail. And fail meaning take time, take cost, whatever. Failure is not permanent here, right? Not in that sense. So slowly and surely from then onwards, I started trusting my own gut. So we can ask people, and what resonates? If it resonates, that means it matches with our own innate wisdom. Then most of the time it works. Because you may not have conscious awareness of what's the right answer, but you will feel it all the time. You will always feel it. So I think there's no good and bad advice. What resonates with you most, and if you're connected with your own gut instinct, then you will always go right.
That's the key there. And to a lot of stuff that has happened along your journey, and this is so true to many of the individuals also, is you are never ever prepared for what life throws at you. Right? While we can all talk in hindsight, hindsight is beautiful. But as you kind of go through the journey, you're never prepared for situations like this. So how do you kind of ensure that, not that we want ourselves to fail and then do something, or we all want to do something, but we don't know what that something could translate to. But having gone through the journey yourself, Surabhi, how can one start preparing towards that unknowns in life, unknowns in career?
First and foremost, I think just accept that there are going to be those. Because if it's a straight and narrow path, then we wouldn't have fun here at all. The whole point is that, right? So, and no matter what, you can never prepare for something like this. And I used to find it almost funny that here, for each employee, we are talking notice period, we are talking document their work, we are talking killing dependencies, so that if tomorrow he quits, then we have 3 months of notice period and we have to get this done. When Nitin left, there was no notice period. There was no documentation. There was no nothing. And husband and wife working together, why redundancy, right? He is doing it. Why should I know about it? If I ask him also, he'll say, I'm doing it. Why do you want to get into this also now? And not that I had time there, right? So we never thought. We never thought of preparing each other for any of these eventualities. And but then that happens. And it's not my life. It happens in so many people's life. So curveballs, hard-hitting life journeys are going to happen. I'm going to extend on my previous answer that there is innate wisdom and we need to trust that. I'll tell you, Shrikant, after Nitin, those first 1 year, 1.5 year, when I was really kind of looking at many different things at the same time and had zero base, right? Like I said, finance. I had zero base. I don't even know what to ask. There could be advisors. But what am I asking? Base is that only am I going to get advice, right? So the questions are to be meaningful and powerful. And here I am, no context. But all the time I kept saying to myself that I'm divinely guided. And my mother said, you know, when something like this happens, there will be a lot of powerful energies that will help you. In her own language, in her own words, she said that. And I somehow believe that it cannot be only taken something away and without empowering me in some way. When I thought that I'm guided, so many times I have asked questions and I wonder, from where did that come? Because I had no thought before asking that question, but I think it just came in my head and were spoken through me. And I got the best of the advice. I got the best of the books. I met best of the people who could really rightful at that time, who could not bring their own interests and agendas, but just help me there. So I think first and foremost, we can never be prepared for them. But we can always know that, accept the fact that life is going to bring in such situations and we will be guided. We are always guided. There is immense wisdom within us. We should really tap into that and trust that. And when it says yes, when it says no, when it says go, when it says stop, we should take that seriously. And all throughout my post, Nitin especially, I think that's one thing that I follow strongly. The rest of the thing is just a transactional thing for me now.
So acceptance is the key out there.
Acceptance of the curveballs is the key. And then believing in your own guidance, wisdom.
And again, as we kind of speak through this, Surbhi, it's very easy to kind of now draw out lessons, but I'm sure you had your own moments like you mentioned. And also from a cultural standpoint, it's not easy to kind of go back and talk about the same stuff that has created so much of pain, angst to you. How are you kind of dealing? Each time you were to speak about it, each time somebody were to ask you, sometimes out of curiosity, sometimes wanting to know something from your story, does it really hurt you, or are you kind of now talking from a point of strength that it has made you the person that you are and you want to kind of share those experiences? What's those emotions with you?
So in the beginning, it bothered a lot. Especially what happens is people's reaction is because they want to show that they can relate, they want to relate it in some of their own personal experience. And it could be their loss on their part, right? Somebody they lost. Or the words like, I understand. You want to say that you don't. Somebody who's, look, it is difficult. I have seen my mother-in-law losing her own son. It's not at all an easy thing. For me, losing him, and that too so sudden. I'll tell you, Shrikant, the saddest part of this is when people feel sorry for me. You know why? Because I somehow feel he was more of life. He wanted to do 100 things. Build businesses, do that, do this. I was just sitting nicely, peacefully in my own house and whatever is in my plate, I will just do that. He was hungry for life. He was living it more. He wanted to live it large. And for him not to get that is the saddest part. We are living here, you and me, and therefore you can feel my grief and therefore you can relate. But I always felt so bad that he didn't get to do this. He didn't get to live all other aspects of life that he really was enthusiastic about, right? And somewhere I'm trying to compensate for that also. I don't want to be in a box anymore. I want to live for me and part of him, if that makes sense. I don't know. He wouldn't live anything like the way I'm living. He was a very ambitious, very aspirational person compared to me. But somewhere I think I need to compensate for that also, that as my duty, responsibility, call it as that. Over a period, it has become easier. And I think it can inspire somebody that if she can do it, I also can do it. If it brings any positive aspect or moves them positively, then I think it's worth sharing and me living that story again. Earlier, first 2 years, yes, it was difficult. Now I try and see value in it and share it as and when required.
I think that's so well speaks of the maturity, so well speaks of the space that you're operating today, that you are now converting this personal tragedy of yours to wanting to give back something to the business community as a business advisor, business coach. And it's also a very interesting conversation from that standpoint, because We always attribute business leaders, business CEOs only through a lens of success, through a lens of achievements. And I recollect you talking about it before our conversation. It's lonely at the top. It's lonely at the top, right? So how does failures at the helm of businesses, how does missteps at the highest levels prepare individuals to kind of take on life, take on business from there on, from that point? There are some moments in life that makes you the person that you are, like how you turned out your personal moment. But God forbid, there will be individuals who will not be able to cope up with it. Things can turn the other way around as well. So what have you kind of had to say on this?
On the surface level, one can say that there is nothing as a failure, right? Everything is a lesson. Everything is a learning. I cannot say that it's always a learning. Some things are so fatal that one can feel almost paralyzed in the situation that I cannot get up and go. There could be those situations as well. I can understand, I can relate. It takes a lot of character and strength in the own personality and your family, your friends, your support system. If they support that, then it helps, benefits all the more. I'll have to go back to your innate strength, your own innate wisdom. I kept saying constantly, I'll figure this out. I'll figure this out. I have no idea how, but I just kept saying that I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. I'll get out of this. I will find my path, right? I kept saying that. I didn't know how. And the word you chose, serendipity, my best of the advisor, the top, I mean, there were many, but if I have to rank them ever, not that they played their role in very different ways. 1 month after Nitin's incident, when I was coming to Dubai to talk to the bank, close his accounts and those kind of formalities, I thought I'm going to, the seat next to me is empty. I'm going to imagine Nitin is traveling with me. This is exactly after 1 month, this incident, right? Mind does weird things, funny things at that time. When I entered the plane, there was already a person sitting there. And I typically don't get to talk to people. I mean, I'm not a chatty in that sense in the planes, right? And here I'm in my own sadness and grief. So I was not in the mood to talk to anybody. But for whatever reason, he felt like talking to me and I felt like talking to him. And he used to be practicing CA. And he had stopped practicing. And he was teaching in SPGEN's Global MBA program on finance. In those 2.5 hours of flight from Mumbai to Dubai, he called for a notepad, he called for a paper. And in that 3 hours, he taught me everything that I need to look after as first step. Now, from where? So God literally put him next to me on my seat there. And then after landing him, I went to washroom. He stood next outside. I'm like, what does he want? You won't believe that people come in just to help you like that, right? You still want to doubt it. And then he said, look, he's an elderly gentleman, right? Like almost like my father. And he said, look, I think I was put here to help you. So here is my email address. We'll stay in touch. He emailed me. After a month or so, we kept talking on the phone. And then finally, I officially hired him to help me with the company. So from where, how we will be helped, and we should be ready to receive that help. If you just know that you'll figure it out, you will be available to life, to the help life is providing. There is no failure that will stay on.
That's a wonderful connotation there. I think one is acceptance, like you mentioned. Second is readiness when something comes your way, that have the intuition to kind of take it on, that will kind of help you on your journey. Wonderful. So now you had those successes, you sold off your business and into a different avatar. And how easy or difficult is that separation pangs of something that you built from scratch, something you looked after as your own? Now you're at a point, and it's just not for you as a founder, right? It's also for the team members, also for your customers, stakeholders. How difficult it is, and for many of our listeners who are either business leaders themselves or want to be, what would be your one or two words of wisdom as you kind of start preparing yourself in that exit path?
It's definitely an emotional journey, I must say that. Every day when you think, I want to exit, a great opportunity may show up and you would think, people dream of having a business, right? And I'm living that dream. Why would I sell? Why should I sell? So you want to stay. And then one day there will be something so frustrating that can happen and you say, okay, I want to get out right now. So you oscillate. I oscillated for a really long time whether to do this or not. But I think if the buyer is the right buyer, you feel a lot more comfortable. why you want to continue is, I mean, one is your commitment to your employees, your team, your commitment to your customers. If you feel that the next person is going to honor all of that and do better than you, then you feel kind of that, okay, you can peacefully give it into somebody else's hands. Separation point of view, look, to me, that's my baby. I can't really think of living with, I mean, what will I do without this business? My identity was attached to that business. What helped me is me realizing that on my own, I won't be able to grow this beyond a point, how much ever I try. And I didn't want to get into any partnership kind of agreement and align myself to the new team and people. So for me, it felt that I have done my best in growing this baby. And then it's time now that I give it to somebody, to the right for people who will grow this further, which my company deserves to grow. My employees needs to have bigger, better career, longer career paths within the organization. So it felt like I'm doing the right by the company. And that's where it kind of made sense to me. And the team was the next company, company who bought it was right to, and they promised that they will take care of how they will do this journey further. And I think that gave me comfort and made it easier slightly to finally sign the deal.
And again, for people wanting to evaluate this, what are those one or two things that they should be considering? Is it just the buyer having that chemistry with the buyer? Is that what it is, or is there anything beyond that as well?
Chemistry with the buyer may not happen from day one and all the time. But I think if you focus on building value, creating value within the company from the very beginning, as early as possible, not when you come to the sale part, right? But as a process. I mean, today in my own business advisory, what I am promoting, creating awareness mostly is like you have your cash flow or your net profit as a KPI. That's the number that you want to monitor. Also monitor your business value. There is a tangible value. There is an intangible value. And of course, there is a huge perceived value. And all of them play hand in hand, right? All of them go hand in hand. Your book value could be whatever, but finally intangible, your competitive advantage, your intellectual property, your brand equity, and most importantly, the goodwill. The amount of work that we have created in the world for, let's say for me, 18 years almost of the business, if somebody wants to create that kind of customer base and relationships and goodwill, how much time will it take for them? So the value of that, one is conscious of that, they can really do a good job with the value of the company. And once you focus on that, you take decisions within the business so powerful that its business starts thriving, even if you don't want to sell. That's why I encourage that focus on this one number also, in addition to your profit and cash flows and all other KPIs that you follow. So start early and be aware of this number. Be conscious of this number.
That's a good call out. I think value creation supersedes everything else.
Yes, 100%.
So bringing all of these things together, Surabhi, if I were to ask you, if we were to do this all over again, what would be the same? What would be different?
Same would be as much as I took charge of the company, right? Especially after Nitin, when I started understanding finance, I put in such strong discipline in the organization that when I sold, we had cash reserves in the company. Now that means every month, put in a very small amount in fixed deposit. It could be just as small as one developer salary. And if ever you have issues and if you ever need money, go and borrow it from the bank, which we have facility for, cash credit facility, working capital, right? And pay that interest and put that interest in your cost so that next time, next month, you know that you incurred this cost because you didn't do your collections on bank. So the whole financial discipline was so heavily emphasized. And because I started talking it, I was talking it, everybody else was aligning with it, right? My operations, my invoicing, my collection, my sales, my delivery team, all of them started understanding what's most important for me. And therefore, they should align to that. And it kind of put in discipline in every person in their own role. So financial discipline is something that I think we got really good points for that. We had a couple of fintech products and that was part of value creation. So the revenue that we were getting from services, we were actually revenues in the cash excess, the profits that we were getting in. We somehow managed to build a couple of products using that money rather than pulling it out, you know. So putting that money in the company, building these products gave us two things. One is I didn't register it as intellectual property, but there was a potential. That is what buyer could see. And that potential that there is a product. So product is We have built it once. We are going to sell it multiple times. We are going to get an AMC revenue out of it. So my margins are humongous compared to my service revenue. So the balance of that, having multiple offerings, so diversified revenue, the revenue coming from services, revenue coming from products, all these things work together. My systems were so powerful. My buyer actually made a statement. My due diligence process went on for like 60 days. My buyer actually commented that your systems and processes are 50 times bigger your organization. It happened to me because I didn't know anything, right? After Nitin, when I started understanding this. So this was me on steroid going from this end to that end. Because I didn't know anything, I had to be extra conscious that I don't make a mistake by mistake, which eventually helped. We had strong insurances to protect me as a director, all other directors, my employees. If we make ever a small mistake, it shouldn't take the company or employees down. So that's kind of sense of maturity that is within the organization. My MIS report was so strong month on month. I knew exactly where my organization stands for this month and year to date and for last 3 years, how we are performing. And therefore, if we are going off, I knew it next month, not next year. And therefore, the control and therefore putting it all on in one line was so fast. And we had that agility. Some of these things really went in our favor, worked very well. Changes, I think if I do it again, I would start paying attention to the value of my business and what gets value. Knowing that and knowing those drivers, I'll pay attention to that from day one. And second, I think this, especially in today's world with technology advancements and everything is available to everybody. There is no generalization that will sustain. So there has to be a specialization. So in the early stage of our journey, we would agree to any customer needs. You want this, we will give it to you this. You want that customer, another customer asking for something, we'll do that. You want this customization, okay, we'll customize it and give it to you. So in that process, we never specialized in many years, first few years. And that kind of scatter our resources, scatter our energies, which is already less for a small, medium-sized organization. So I think knowing what you're going to specialize in and having the courage to say no to all other things, and therefore having your sales engine, having your delivery aligned to that specialization will always give us an upper hand. And that I will do something that I should have done. I mean, you'll be live and learn. So that is something that I'll do from the beginning if I ever do it again.
Wonderful. Good response out there. We've been talking to Surabhi, the business advisor, business coach, successful exit from two of our entrepreneurial ventures. On to the other side of the conversation, get to know the other side of Surabhi. The first of the power of three coming to you, Surabhi. What are three routines that is unique to you?
I meditate every day. I journal every day. I try to do some exercise almost every day.
That's good. Three practices out there. My next question was, it's related to this, was three practices that helps you to develop well-being.
Again, meditation, journaling. Yeah, these two. I mean, I cannot even think of, because everything gets covered in.
Can you tell us a little more about journaling, the practice of journaling, how it has kind of helped you and what can people do in a quick summary?
Right. In my humble opinion, and I'm not against any therapy, but for normal day-to-day living that we live our life, right? I personally think that people don't need therapy. People need clarity. If you're clear where you are, what you are, and even what you're upset with, if you verbalize it, most of the time you find a solution. You find the answer. So journaling helps to me there. Lord, when I say there is innate wisdom in us and one can tap into that, I'm actually referring to journaling and that wisdom, because if it is just in the head, it gets so entangled because we can't focus for a consistent period of time on one single thought. But the moment you have a pen and paper in hand or even digital, you can put in a question that I'm frustrated with so and so and such situation. How can I see this differently? With just that one single prompt, if you start writing down, okay, first 10 lines could be just frustration. But then mind works to find a solution. We're trained to find a solution. And then that journaling, if you keep writing, if you keep flowing on the paper, you will find something. You will start seeing a change in your own way. Because the question is, how can I see this differently, right? So you will trick yourself to see this differently. There's a book called A Course in Miracles. And there is no miracle happening there. Change in perception is a miracle. Because when the perception changes, you'll find a solution. You'll make peace. And that is a very powerful thing. So when you're happier, you write about your gratitude. You write about what is working well and how blessed you are feeling. You write, you let that be penned out on the paper so that it is in black and white. You process that in your head. When you are in a negative energy, negative emotions, you use again the same pen and paper and take a stab at that. You write down what's frustrating. You remove the bugs out, I call it. You sometimes, you know, how can I see this differently? There are these prompts that we can use. Or if nothing else, just download. Just download that something that is bothering you and you feel so much lighter. Or you find your answers. One of these two things happen.
Wonderful. There you go. The power of journaling. So continuing on with our power of three questions, Surabhi. Three book recommendations.
So I think Good to Great by Jim Collins, all-time favorite. Most importantly, what I learned from that book is level 5 leadership. Leadership has many styles and we all can learn all that. But what this talks about is sheer resolve of putting the business above everything else and putting life above everything else than your own personal agendas. When you have that sheer resolve to get out of this situation, improve the situation, grow your company, resolve of that, you will put up with a lot of nonsense that otherwise you wouldn't because of your ego. So that level 5 leadership that Jim Collins talks is something really phenomenal. And I think I made a post out of that on LinkedIn because that's how I selected my leaders. If I ever felt that they are putting their own egos, their own interests above the organization, then it's a small cross in front of them for me. You know, so one, that book definitely. Second, I must say The Power of Now by Carter Lake. I have every version, every type of that book, you know, Kindle to Google Play to Audible to paper, the actual physical copy, because that book talks about many things, the pain body, how we keep our energies active within our body and how they can surface and how living in the now, coming in the present is so important. So that's my second book. And the third one, very difficult. So many books, right? I mean, I'm a big fan of subconscious mind, how we can really, yeah. So anything by Joseph Murphy or any book on subconscious mind, Louis Hay, all these people have done such an amazing work. Sorry, if you're looking for any business books, there are plenty.
Yeah, that's fine.
But these are like textbooks for me, you know, these are like textbooks. Every time I need some advice, I have to go here.
Go refer to them. And again, every individual have their own choice of books, their own style of reading. So anything that our listeners can benefit from, even getting to know the titles is a good enough recommendation out there. So we spoke a lot about your life journey. If we were to synthesize everything into three life lessons, what are those three life lessons that you have so far?
Define your criteria of success. To me, having that balance, if I'm successful in the worldly view, but my body doesn't agree with me, it's a problem. If my relationships are not harmonious, it's a problem. So my definition of success is balance. I'm not talking work-life balance in that sense, but having a balanced life where all corners of that, all four legs of my life are in a certain level matching with each other. Therefore, I can have a base of happiness on it. So I think define your success early on. And second, I think your intuition, your guidance, and trusting that. That's a big one. Because anything and everything that life throws, if you know yourself, if you know how to trust yourself, you will sail through. And the third, I have never thought about these, Shrikant. Third lesson, self-development. That's the biggest investment. I think it's been said many times that that's the biggest investment, right? You cannot change the world. All you can do is change yourself, develop yourself. And that's where the whole power, all power lies.
So we spent a whole lot of time on reflective journey, looking back what has happened. So this question is about looking forward. If you were to give the older self of Surabhi three pieces of advice or wisdom, what are those three pieces of wisdom would be?
Stop worrying and start living because it's utter waste of time and energy. Be more open and receptive to the pleasures of life. The pleasures could come in terms of great people, advice, opportunities to show yourself better. Say yes more. don't be so hesitant, reluctant, even if you are scared. Say yes more.
Nice, nice, nice advice there. The last of the part of the round, Surabhi, if you were to have lunch or dinner with three individuals of your choice, who would that be and why?
I think I'll just have them with all my friends and family, have a good laugh. For some reason, I've never been able to put any human being on pedestal. I put their thoughts and their way of thinking on pedestal, but I think all human beings can falter. And because that happened, then all their theories were wrong. No, I can't believe that, because those thoughts made me shift any something in me, right? So thoughts are more important for me. So I honor them and those thoughts rather than only those people, because they're humans finally. So I think I will have all my lunch and dinner with my own people.
As we draw closer to our conversation, there is an element that is closer to your body of work that you are doing, which is a coach, advisor to a lot of business leaders. And one of the pieces is around coaching, the power of coaching, how can one take advantage of it, and you being a coach. And the question here is, how can one get the best out of a coaching experience, coaching conversation? What are the things that one can do to get the best out of those conversations?
Know what you want. Have an agenda, have a goal when you start working with a coach. If you don't know, start on that I would like to know what I want, and take coaches' help to even goal setting, even knowing what's your vision that you want to accomplish. So use your coach very strongly, heavily, to seek clarity in terms of what, in terms of how, in terms of why you want to do something. So get, these are the answers that are within you. Coach will be holding the space for you to think loudly and to make suggestions a bit, so that you are on the path, you stay on the path. Use coach for accountability. If you have decided you are going to do something, give a little bit of accountability control in coach's hand. All sports, best of the sports players have a coach. Not that because they can't really play. Many times coach has not even played the ways today's sports person plays, right? Serena Williams also has a coach today and continued to have one. Because coach can see the way she cannot see. We always say that the eye cannot see itself, right? For me to see my own eyes, I need a reflection. I need a mirror. So the coach is going to be that. So as a coachee, don't think it's a weaker thing. Go there to improve yourself. Like I said, self-development is the most important thing. Use your coach to be the eyes and ears, something that you cannot see in yourself. And work with that.
And you have been working with the business leaders. From that standpoint, the pace at which business is changing, the expectations of the leaders to kind of be long-term focused, at the same time be short-term sharp, and the whole adage around fail fast, practice innovation, all of those stuff. But how much of these things are real in the real world? Do leaders get opportunities to practice some of these things? Do they do that? Or is there a sense of fear that if they do something like this, success might not happen, or they might not be at the same pedestal that they want to be, kind of stuff? So throw some light around some of the challenges the current state leaders have in terms of navigating these different challenges in front of them.
You're right. The pace of everything is changing. The world is more demanding, from employees to customers. It's different. I wouldn't say it's a struggle to stay on track. And I would go back to Jim Collins' level 5 leadership, where you need to put business above you. So when you say fail fast, most of the time, I do not agree completely to the fail fast, because I think if you know that you're failing, most of the time you would course correct. Problem comes when you know that you're failing, or this is not going to go right. You have an awareness of that, but you still keep pushing that one day it will make sense. And that's, you know, in writer's world, they call it killing your darlings. One has to do that. Just because you have invested time or money, or it's your ego, you said to the world, this will work, this makes a lot of sense. And now then, you know, you need to have humility to let go of it. So it's not so much about failing fast. It's basically course correcting because it makes sense, and not get attached to the ego, the money, the time, because you have invested so much into it. that is the mindset that is required, and really execute that, work on that.
So we have had some wonderful conversations, starting with your own life journey to what business leaders should do, what success looks like, what are the missteps one can look and how they need to kind of go about doing that, career pivots that you yourself had. Wonderful conversation all through. This show is all about creating ripples of inspiration. Before you and I sign off, what is your Inspire Someone Today message to all the listeners?
I would say focus on yourself, trust yourself more, develop yourself more, invest there, and be open to the pleasant surprises or curveballs that life will throw at you. Have that confidence, that grounded centeredness that you can really show up and face life, all the goods and all the not so goods, because everything is finally good.
Everything is finally good. Take care of the self. The world around you will be a great place to be at. On that note, Surabhi, thank you so much for joining and sharing your pearls of wisdom with me and my listeners. Thank you for listening into today's edition of Inspire Someone Today. It's been a privilege to bring in these conversations. If you like this episode and have any feedback or comments, do mail me at inspiresomeonetodaypodcast@gmail.com. Inspiring someone is like creating ripples around us. If you like what you listen, feel free to share them and let's create ripples of inspiration. Do not forget to follow me on my Instagram handle @inspiresomeonetodaypodcast for all the latest updates. This is Srikanth, your host, signing off, and until next time, keep inspiring.